All right, let's begin with this South African Gerco van den Venter, who was kidnapped in Libya in November 2017 and then sold to Al-Qaeda in Mali the next year, has been released unconditionally. Now, his captivity of 6 years and 1 month makes him the longest held South African hostage. Van den Venter, a paramedic, was released into Algeria on Friday. The announcement of his release was made by Gift of the Givers, who have been very instrumental in his release. Let's speak now to Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, Gift of the Givers founder. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Suleiman. Let's just start with, what else do we know about his release?
Good afternoon, Bongiwe. We don't know much except that he was released yesterday, from what we were told. I got a call yesterday afternoon from our state security personnel saying that they got a call from the Algerian state security to say that they have Gerco van den Venter with him. And they were arranging a flight from him to fly from wherever to Algiers to be checked in a hospital. And it's all the information they have right now. They don't know the circumstances of his release. We then got in contact with the intermediaries and asked, is this correct? And they said they apologized. They're supposed to have got back to us a little earlier. But they said it's correct that he has been released. And if we discuss later, I'll give you the whole background behind that. But they said he has been released, and you know, arrangements were made to Algeria, and that he is on that side now in freedom, you know, and released unconditionally.
Have they said anything about how he is?
Well, they don't normally tell you that, you know. But generally, hostages that are kept on Al-Qaeda are generally kept in very good condition. There's two dangerous parts. If they're capturing you, you know, the day they're capturing and you resist, there's a possibility they'll shoot you on sight and you will die. And if you resist them whilst in captivity, there's a chance they'll shoot you then also. But any other point, you know, they take very good care of you because you mean a lot of money to them, especially when they pick up big ransoms like $3 million, $4 million, $5 million, euros, you know, that kind of money. So they take very good care of you. What they can't take care of is your emotional and your physical state. Because you can be well fed, well looked after, but it's an intense situation. So you live like how they live, moving from area to area, sometimes in a tent, sometimes in a cave, maybe in a house, in a village, and you eat what they eat. So, but they take good care of you. You need medical help. They call the doctors to take care of you. But your emotional state, you know, you're missing your family. You don't know their condition, how your child is, how your wife is. That's very difficult to deal with. And most hostages, you know, find it very tough when they come back.
I can only imagine. And Dr. Suleiman, one of the things that, you know, we are learning and reading is the fact that he was released unconditionally. But some viewers may want to know, because we know that at some point when they took him, they were asking for, you know, around $3 million. And then the amount at some point, we know that according to reports, it was negotiated down, but it was never confirmed exactly how much they would have wanted. So someone is watching tonight and listening to us saying he's been released unconditionally. Does this mean that this ransom was paid or not? Let's clarify that for them.
There was no ransom paid. We got involved in 2018. The family came to us, and we never get involved in cases unless the family asks. So we got involved in 2018. We have a relationship with the intermediaries because we've done many situations in Mali before. We worked with Stephen McGowan, Johan Gustafsson, Christo Botma, Mr. Patel from Burkina Faso, and we advised other negotiators on behalf of other hostages from other countries. So we have a history. And so the first thing we did through the intermediaries in 2018 is said, we asked, what's the asking? And they said $3 million. We said, it's crazy. He's a South African and his family can't afford that. We need to bring that down. It took some time. Eventually, it came down to $500,000. But of course, the family doesn't have that kind of money. There was no benefactor. And there was no, the company that he worked for, he had just started work for them. So they were not going to pay for the staff. They just started working for them. Gift of the Givers, we don't pay any ransom money. We facilitate the discussion so that the hostage can release on behalf of the family. So because there was no money, no ransom, the negotiation sort of just went down and went cold. And soon after that, it was COVID. So everything died for 2 years. In January this year, one of the intermediaries that we know well called us and said, look, over the last few years, many hostages have been released. Why don't you try again? So we said they've been released because people have been able to pay money. We don't have money to pay. So what's the difference? They said, just try. We're no leverage. We have nothing to deal with. But fortunately, a month or two later was Ramadan. And we used that as an opportunity to say, look, it's Ramadan, you know, it's the fasting month, people have soft hearts, can you release him? In Pelican Park, communities got together, they put a placard requesting, you know, please release him, it's a good month. Religious leaders gave a letter, many letters, they said, release him. We did all that. Nothing happened. Then came the month of pilgrimage, Hajj. We tried the same procedure again, nothing happened. Then something happened. The earthquake took place in Morocco. And many of the captors are linked to people in Morocco. They have an affinity from that country. And we offered assistance to Morocco, not because of the captors, because that's what we do normally in disasters. And the Moroccan government politely said, look, we're managing, we don't need any help from outside, and they didn't really take international assistance. But the word got through to the captors that Gift of the Givers offered assistance. They indirectly sent a message to say they appreciate what we did. So we tried to use that as leverage to say, okay, we tried to help your country, why don't you release Falco unconditionally? No response. Then something happened on November 16th. We got a call late in the afternoon from one of the chief intermediaries that we've dealt with since 2015, who was directly responsible for Stephen McGowan's release. And he said, I need all the videos again, the one that the family made that you published publicly and the ones that you haven't published publicly. I need all of them. Now, what is strange, what was important about that date, and I don't know if it's a coincidence, the morning of 16 November, the head of my office in Gaza, Ahmed Abbasi, was directly murdered by Israeli occupation forces. I know that same morning, and his brother was also murdered on the way back from mosque from Friday, from morning prayer. The same afternoon, we get this request, and nothing else is said. On the 1st of December, we get a call from a person we don't ever know, never spoke to, have no idea about, and from another country. He calls us from Mauritania, and he says, I'm working on the release of Kharko. Now, we don't know who this person is and what he got to do with all of this. And suddenly last night, we get the call, after we made the call, of course, to say that you guys haven't called us, but we hear that Kharko is released in Australia, I mean, in Algeria, is this correct? And they said, yes. And they said, what we meant to tell you is that you know that we normally do it through Mali, but we can't do it now because the Mali military and the Tuaregs are at war right now. So it can't work. We tried, you got a call from somebody in Mauritania because that person was trying to release, arrange a release from the Mauritania state security, but they refused. They said, we don't get involved in hostage situations. And then we went to the Algerians, and the Algerians have done it before, and they agreed. So we released him unconditionally through the Algerian to South Africa. And he said one of the reasons that maybe he was released unconditionally is because of the war, they're afraid hostages may die in captivity with them. And it looks very possible that many more hostages are going to be released unconditionally.
And very briefly, then we're out of time. How is his family receiving the news?
Well, you know, the family, of course, not being the wife, is a very strong lady. Take it just, of course, until she sees him, you know, she doesn't get over elated and over excited. She's been very controlled, you know, from the first day, 7 years, from 6 years ago. A strong woman for herself and for her son, Asher. And, you know, she's taken it in stride, very positive, full of hope, full of faith, and, you know, waiting for the outcome. Very thankful that it has happened. But, of course, the great news will be when she sees him personally in South Africa.
And I have interviewed her before, a very wonderful lady indeed. And as you say, very, very positive, but well done. And once again, Dr. Suleiman, really for sticking this one out and never giving up on this family. And really, you must be relieved as well tonight. But let me thank you so much even for your time, just to give us the update on this very important story. That was Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, Gift of the Givers founder.